Good morning, good morning, good morning to all my listeners out there on Anchor, FM, Land, Spotify, Amazon Music, all the podcast platforms. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy holidays, Feliz Navidad. Happy New Year to you, 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 and yours. I am Sharita, host of Holistic Talk. Remember, this podcast is for educational purposes only, not intended to treat, cure, diagnose, or prevent sickness, illnesses, or disease, or mental health issues. If you're making any lifestyle changes to your health and wellness routine for yourself or your family, please consult with your medical doctor first. What's up, my peoples? Wow, this is the last Thursday. I think, no, not yet, but we're coming to the last Thursday in 2021. Moving on to 2022, if the Lord says the same, and Yeshua HaMashiach says the same. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about early history of aromatherapy. Why? Because aromatherapy is now being used in massage parlors, beauty salons, chiropractors' offices, and even some doctors may use aromatherapy as well. You can find aromatherapies such as essential oils in your local Walmart, health food store, Whole Foods, and you can even purchase them from certain retailers as well. So today I'm going to go over a little bit about the history of aromatherapy. That's right. I hope you guys enjoy my podcast. Leave me a comment. Also, leave me a message at the end of the podcast as well. So, early history of aromatherapy. Fragrances is able to stimulate memories and senses. Did you know the ancient people in Mesopotamia, I hope I'm saying it right, China, India, 3,000 years BC, released and used fragrant aroma. They learned that inhaling the aroma caused memories to become fixed upon the brain. When the aroma was experienced, the next time the memory was recalled. That's right, that's what they did. Wow. Burning oils or incense was one of the earliest methods of releasing aroma. During times of animal sacrifices, it was thought the smell of burning flesh was pleasing to the gods. It was not so pleasant for the general public who burned incense along with the sacrificial offerings to control the odor. So we know, for those that are believers of Yeshua HaMashiach, they burn incense while they did the sacrificial offering times. They burn incense. So we never know, they could have burned incense to cover up the odor, since burning animal carcasses does not have a pleasant aroma. We don't know. So in ancient China, one of the first cultures to explore use of fragrance was the Chinese, who described the six harmonies created by incense and the fumes one inhales to achieve hearing harmony. The harmonious was tranquil, luxurious, beautiful, refined, and noble. The Chinese felt that without harmony, one does not achieve balance. So in ancient China, they did aromatherapy, burn incense to achieve harmony. And you know, in China, they still do that today during certain ceremonies. You know, when one of their loved ones pass away, they'll light an incense stick, put it in the thing, and then they pray. There are other times that they do light incense. So, like I said, in China, they did it to bring harmony and for balance. So, over there in ancient Egypt, the word perfume comes from the Latin perfumia, which literally translates to through smoke. The Egyptians had a developed had developed perfume industry, but control of the industry remained in the hands of the priests who used perfumes in religious ceremonies and mummifications. So, in ancient Egypt, which they still practice using perfumes and different things in certain ceremonies, during mummification, they would perfume the body up really good to make it smell good. And they still, some over there in Egypt, they still practice certain ceremonies where they, you know, wipe the body down with perfumes and oils. They even stuff flowers in the mummies to, I guess, to give a certain smell. We don't know, but, you know, read up on up. You can get more information on the process of mummification. Today's Muslims do it today. They'll rub the body down with certain perfume oils. So in ancient Egypt, that's what they did. The general public, known to bathe and wash frequently, use oils and other cosmetics to protect their skin from the summer heat, and additional perfumes were used at banquets and receptions. So some people would bathe in perfume oils, which today you can do that. It gives a pleasant smell to your skin. It helps your skin. It exfoliates your skin. It helps your skin to glow. So a lot of people do take baths in oils, perfume oils. Yes, they do. So in ancient Greece, the Greeks made extensive use of aromatic plants and essential oils. For example, the Greeks used perfumes and aromatic herbs to purify the air and reduce odors by burning and strewing them on the floors. Yeah, they did that over in ancient Greece. Yeah. So, hypocrites. I'm just laughing, y'all. 460 to 377 BEC is generally recognized as the greatest physician in history of the ancient world, and who lived in the Aegean island of Kos. Yeah. Hypocrites. That's how you say it, hypocrites. And his followers believed that disease resulted from an imbalance of nature, a disruption of the normal balance of the four humors, and the natural conflict between health and disease. The illness would typically reach a crisis point at which nature determined the future course of the illness. So, much of Hippocratic writings that serve deal with observation of illness, the crisis point, and the resolution. In some sense, Hippocrates was more of a medical observer and scientific than a healer. Good many of his patients died. Nevertheless, it was his attempt to explain rationally what disease is, how it is caused, and what course it takes, that made Hippocrates the most significant physician of all time. So he was a scientist, a researcher. So also he, you know, studied the body, observed the body, determined the cause, just like doctors do in today's world. But he did it extensively because he, I guess he compared nature and the body at the same time. Like I always tell people, our bodies was meant to heal itself. And plus, there's medicine right in our own backyard, if you know it. I told someone a couple of days ago, well, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I said, did you know that you can eat dandelions? They said, what? I said, yeah. I said, dandelions are edible. I said, people call them a pest when they pop up. And they was like, the dandelions that you blow? I said, yeah, those dandelions. I said, when they, you know, after they turn into the little blowy things that we all grew up to say, oh, let's pick them, and we will blow them into the air. When we were younger, we didn't know why we was blowing them. But when you blow them, when they hit the ground, they plant themselves into the ground and they spring up and become dandelion flowers. So
Dandelions are edible, and you can eat them. You can cook them. You can make tea out of them. You can put it in your salad. Even when the flower itself springs up, before the flower springs up, you can take the dandelion leaves and make a salad out of it. Just something I just thought I would just throw that out there to someone, you know. But nevertheless. So, yeah. So we're talking about early history of aromatherapy. Yeah. That's what we're talking about today. Yep, we sure are. We're talking about that today. Ancient Rome. During their early history, around 188 BC, the Romans were forbidden to sell exotic fragrances. The use of fragrance and perfumes only flourished after their migration into Italy, which at that time was occupied by Greeks. It is thought that the Greeks were influential in promoting the use of fragrance and perfumes amongst the Romans. So that was ancient Greece. So, yeah. Heritage of ancient Rome in Europe. The use of aromatic medicinal and household plants spread throughout England and Europe with the movement of the Roman army and has continued to modern day. We will move on to, and you know, so that's what it is today, you know, when we talk about aromatherapy. So there's also aromatherapy during the Middle Ages, which is bringing it up to today's, like during the Empire of Cyprus and Baghdad, science and scholarship flourished, and controlled and development of the perfume trade was one of many mathematical and technical back breakthroughs. That's right. Cyprus, I think I'm saying his name right, enjoyed beautiful scents and encouraged their manufacturer creating blends for mosquitoes and public building with their extreme fragrance, a tradition which is being revived today in some of the newer buildings in the United Arab Emirates. Roses were the first flower to be distilled into perfume, placing a flower in a small produce the famous altar roses, which is an essential oil, and it smells so good. I'm telling you, I have a little small bottle of it, and I also have a perfume aroma smell of roses as well. The word attar is derived from Arabic word itar, I-T-R, meaning perfume. The scent of the rose remains strong in the distillation water. Thus, in Islamic literature, attar of roses refers both to rose water and pure rose oil. So I have a little small bottle of that, which is little teeny. And y'all, let me tell y'all something. It is not cheap. That little teeny bottle, which is, I think it's a 2 ounce. I'm going to say 2 ounce or 3 ounce. That thing is not cheap at all. Rose essential oil is one of the most expensive oils. Well, it's not one of the most expensive, but it tends to be expensive. An expensive essential oil. The Crusaders returned with rose water and other aromatic substances, spreading them to England. Rose water was used extensively in cooking in the Middle East, and this became popular in medieval Britain with rose petal jam, rose water in drinks and sweets. Rose petals were added to butter, tea, and to other products. Perfumes, the rose oil, rose scents, rose aromatherapy was used in just about a lot of things. Use it in your bath water. There are people that actually take baths in roses. They'll get the rose petals and just put them in a bathtub and soak in it. And I guarantee, let me tell you, your skin smells so good. You can make rose tea. And guess what? Roses are edible. Yes, they are. So we just went over a little bit about modern history of aromatherapy, just to give an overview of some questions you may have about, okay, how did aromatherapy get started? Where did it come from? The history, background, who did what and who did this? Well, you got it. Aromatherapy been around. Aromic or aromatherapy or essential oils and the use of essential oils been around for many decades. It goes all the way back to ancient Rome, ancient Greece, Italy, England, Roman Empire. Oh, when Hippocrates was around, I think I'm saying his name right, Hippocrates. I want to say his name, Hippocrates. When Homer was around, all those people was around. Great men of science, great men of mathematicians was around. They were using flowers, roses, all types of leaves and botanic things that you can find that are planted today that we see today in modern time for different smells to produce, to make incense, to make the air smell good, to, you know, make their skin smell good. And not only to make their skin smell good, if they had a particular skin issue, they would take flowers and rub it on themselves and bathe in it, and all types of things they use, different oils for, perfume oils. And we know in ancient Egypt, they produced perfume oils. They used it in ceremonies and when they would sacrifice the animals, they would light the incense to cover up the smell for the, you know, stay. When they did weddings, the women would bathe in perfume oils and in that bath water to purify them. Even when women would go through a purification process before they would get married, they were bathed in perfume and adorned with different perfume oils each and every day. So the use of essential oils and aromatherapy and aromic has been around for years. And I advise everyone that is tuning in on today to do your homework, do your research, look up. If you're into essential oils and you do every so often take in aromatherapy sessions, either at massage parlors or beautician or however the case may be, if the chiropractor uses essential oils, ask them questions. You know, how did you come about using essential oils? What information can you give me so that I can study and, you know, get familiarized with essential oils? That's the best thing I could tell a person, you know, that somebody want to get educated in use of essential oils. And they got a lot of schools out here for integrated medicine that you can go to school for, get a certificate for. They even got people that do hold aromatherapy session classes, and you get certified as aromatherapist. You can learn all the science behind aromatherapists, how to mix and make your own perfume, make your own massaging oils, and different all types of things you can learn about aromatherapy and how some essential oils that we use to that they use back then, they still use today, which are you can find in some of your medicine and certain drinks. And just a tip, like eucalyptus oil that is used in Vicks VapoRub, you can turn to the back of Vicks VapoRub and find one of the ingredients is eucalyptus oil. You'd be surprised, some of the medicines that we take today or prescribe today does have a certain flower essence in it. So do your homework, do your research, educate yourself. Well, once again, I thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. Just a brief overview I wanted to do with you all on today. And know that this podcast is for educational purposes only, not intended to treat, cure, diagnose, or prevent sicknesses, illnesses, or disease, or mental health issues. If you're making any lifestyle changes to your health and wellness routine for yourself or your family, please consult with your medical doctor first. Peace, deuces, and namaste.